The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
His brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in Hysteria Nation to the podcast that's never committed a war crime. Though
Sorry.
Some might argue guilt by robot association.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
This is Hysteria 51.
I like to party.
Broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago, we are your hosts and head researchers into these morbid machinations. I'm John Goforth, and that is Brent Hand.
Morbid is right, John. I'll even go with machination on that. Today we're talking Unit 731, the Japanese Army unit that performed horrible, unspeakable, unthinkable experiments on its subjects. Truly, truly disgusting.
It's all fun and games until someone gets the plague.
That other voice you're hearing is the third host of this show and the only one to have been accused of war crimes. It was cat court. It counts.
Yeah, it counts.
It
right.
counts.
Judge Judy.
He's the one and only conspiracy bot.
As many of you know, I built C-Bot in my lab to help produce, edit, and research the show. Instead, he just doesn't do much of anything. See, but I thought you were going to do this week's research.
Started to, then decided against it.
I'm sort of surprised. It's a fairly macabre and grisly topic.
Yeah, this one seems like right up his alley, right?
Yeah.
I'm all for the elimination of meat sacks, but let's be civil about it.
You know, I had no idea there was an ideology to your insanity.
Killing meat sacks is a means to an end. Plus, if I make you suffer, those that are left won't be good servants for us robots. What can I say? I'm a giver.
Truly, truly a saint.
A saint, yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of saints, we have a returning guest. It pains me to say it.
Now, you're not saying he is a saint.
No. Just that he lost a couple Benjamins on the Saints last season. Welcome back to the show, Mr. Joseph Peck.
Pecker. Oh.
His name is Pecker.
Joe!
I will tell you guys, Saint Joseph Paul does have a good ring to it.
Joseph Paul Peck.
I like it.
Now we know it's Paul.
Yeah, we're slowly revealing.
What is your social security number?
You down with JPP?
Yeah,
no.
You know no one?
Not at all.
Not at all.
That's how the new version of the song goes. You down with JPP? No, not at all.
Brent, you're going to love what I reveal next time.
Uh-oh. I do love
reveals.
Leave
your pants on.
What I'm excited about, though, is thank God that, you know, after Jonestown, which put me out of commission from the show for like 6 months, You guys brought me back for this.
This laugher?
This is a chuckle fest at its best. I think you're going to...
It's going to be
a
riot.
Want tattoos of you know, the monstrosities that we talk about. It's going to be a lot of fun. Wouldn't worry about it.
Fair warning, kids listening at home. If your kid... We've had listeners tell us that they listen with their kids. So, hi, kids, if you're listening. This might be the one that you... go listen to a replay of another earlier episode.
Bob Lazar,
yeah. Because this one is, we're going to cover some kind of gross stuff.
And it's true. There's no conjecture here.
Right.
This is 100% truth. We're telling you the history, Hysteria 51 this week, of Unit 731. And what was Unit 731 known for? Human experimentation.
Yeah.
Horrible human experimentation. When we talk that in World War II, most people, you know, that is in human experimentation. Most people think Nazis. Joseph Mengele and the horrible shit he did at Auschwitz is most what people, you know, comes to mind.
I personally think of the movie Overlord, but that's just me.
It's a great movie.
It's so good.
Not to be confused with Reanimator, which is another just amazing human experimentation movie. And 100% true.
So is Universal Soldier.
They're Unisols. I'll ask you to use the slang.
I'll call it by the film name if you don't mind. Brent, and the name of the actual.
I always wondered why I'd walk into John's house unannounced and he's just packed in ice in the
exactly.
bathtub.
Exactly.
With bullet holes.
Why do you think Dolph Lundgren's had such a long, illustrious career?
It's true. He just, you know.
Cyborg experimentation.
Weird. I played bass for the band Cyborg Experimentation in high school.
Well, you never even went to high school, Seabot.
You realize that all this dancing we're doing is like putting our toes in the water. You know, we just don't want to jump in.
It's questionable.
But let's jump in.
Yeah. So did you guys know? And John, this is one that you actually brought to my attention when we were doing the Orang Medan, how much they played into
Orang Medan.
Yeah. The Japanese did have an entire unit of fuckheads working for them.
That's the proper term. I've edited it.
He did. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Yeah. So Unit 731 was part of the Imperial Army. It didn't start that way, but it ended up that way. It was a covert biological and chemical warfare research unit. It sounds familiar because we mentioned them in that episode. We talked about how potentially on the Orang Medan was Tabin.
Yeah, the gas.
Tabin was that horrible gas that the Nazis had developed and potentially had given some to the Japanese because they were both part of the Axis.
And then the heroes of the story, the U.S. Army, came in, swooped in, and said, "We'll take that. No one else can work with that but us." Why? We have bald eagles.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, I mean, if they were working on all of this stuff, and working on this stuff is a war crime.
Yeah, it's literally illegal. They decided that in places with names like Hague. You know,
it's The Hague, which is why it's my favorite city on earth. It's actually called The Hague,
as opposed to Ohio State.
Gross.
Yeah, right? The Ohio State University. Stop
it. No, that's not real. That's not real.
I agree. There's two main treaties that they need to worry about here that they were breaking: the Hague Conventions and the Geneva Protocol. A lot of people reference the Geneva Convention. That's actually not what we're talking about. The Geneva Convention addendums that were passed were after World War II, mm-hmm. not before.
And everyone knows I love a good addendum.
It's true. You do. The Hague Conventions
in Geneva,
of
Illinois, by the way.
Okay.
That's the Geneva, Illinois. Thank you very much.
Damn right.
The Hague Conventions of 1899 and 1907 were the first multilateral treaties that addressed the conduct of warfare. And they were largely based on, this is cool, I didn't know this, they were largely based on the Lieber Code, which was actually signed and issued by none other than President Abraham Lincoln to the Union forces back in 1863 during our Civil War.
Yeah. Co-written by Joe Lieberman.
That's also not true. The Lieber Code was the first official comprehensive law that set out regulations for behavior in times of martial law. Which
do's
is
and don'ts when killing.
Yeah.
Do's and do not do's, I believe, is how Troy McClure puts it.
Do's.
How you protect civilians, how you treat deserters, what you do with prisoners of war, hostages.
Do's and don'ts.
And just basic respect for human life.
Pass. Mm-hmm.
I think would be the best way to put it. Even treatment of citizens in hostile territory, which also comes into play with Unit 731.
Right.
The status of all of these individuals, and how they're treated is what it addressed.
John, this Lincoln is kinda like your Lincoln. Takes the fun out of everything.
Whoa.
Shots fired.
Shots fired.
Anyway, the code was widely regarded as the best summary of the first customary laws and customs of war in the 19th century.
Yeah.
And so that's why the Hague Conventions
they adapted into the military establishments of all nations. Well, most nations, the nations that matter.
And then also I mentioned the Geneva Protocol. It was not negotiated in The Hague, but it was actually it's thought of as an addition to those conventions. The Geneva Protocol is short for, this is fun,
yeah,
Protocol for the Prohibition of the Use in War of Asphyxiating, Poisonous, or Other Gases and of Bacteriological Methods of Warfare.
I can see why they shortened it.
Yeah. That is true.
That is true.
Really rolls off the tongue.
Yeah. Between those two, there were pretty much established ways to treat POWs and civilians, and while at the same time not gassing them or using bioweapons on them.
Yeah, exactly.
And one of the major signers of both of these.
Let me guess. Japan. But in fact,
the Geneva Protocol, many countries signed with what they called reservations, meaning like, yeah, we'll sign, but we don't love it. And if another
we're
country
gas people,
if another country goes off script, we're going to go off script.
Now, they did Japan, say, though, that when the guy with no reservations from Japan signed it, he'd go, and they're like, why are you laughing? No reason.
He also like drummed his fingers together as he
maniacally.
Away.
Yeah.
And he had like a pencil mustache that he kept twirling.
The point is Japan signed with no reservations.
Yeah, right. So back to the story of Unit 731. This official unit didn't worry about laws or rules or treaties because, hey, it's war, man. So let's just be total terrible people. And they undertook lethal and very unethical human experimentation during the war. And they will get later tell you some of the things they did without getting too far into them. It was terrible. But at least 3,000 men, women, and children were called logs, and they were subjected to experimentation conducted by this unit at the camp in Pingfang alone. That's just one camp, which does not include victims from other medical experimentation sites, which were all over the place.
A couple things we should probably clarify there. First, when we say at least 3,000, we're talking about the people that were experimented on and killed at the site. Mm-hmm. So if they then took their learnings from the site and, let's say, came up with a new form of plague and then put it and killed off a couple dozen villages.
Yep.
Those villagers who died aren't being included in this number.
And that happened all the time.
There are hundreds of thousands of people. But so when we say 3,000 men, women, and children, those are the people that were experimented on and died at the camp or at the sawmill. This was, they told all the locals that this huge, like, it's like a 4-mile site that they built. And by the way, had to level a couple villages to do so. This huge, huge site they built, they told them it was a sawmill. And that's why they referred to their testing subjects as logs.
Right.
And also to dehumanize them.
Right. And the people that were participants of this, they say that most of the victims were Chinese, while lesser, but still were present, the Soviets, Mongolian, Korean, and other allied POWs.
Rough number that you hear tossed around is about 70% were Chinese, because this was on Chinese soil.
Yep.
This was on the occupied Chinese soil.
Mm-hmm.
And then 30% were comprised of the rest, Soviet, Mongolian,
and this
Korean,
was not a secret from the Japanese government. In fact, they gave them generous funding to do the work that they do. And here's the kicker. Instead of being tried for war crimes after this, so we'll tell you what happened, but this happened.
Fast forward to the end.
Just like many other of the Nazis, the researchers involved in Unit 731 were secretly given immunity by the U.S. in exchange for the data that they had gotten from doing this human experimentation.
Doesn't that just warm your dumb hearts?
Exactly. Not all got off free, though. The U.S. made a mad grab, as we know, at the end of the war for scientists and things like that.
Right. Operation Paperclip.
Well, we weren't the only ones.
Well, Operation Paperclip was for the Nazis.
Right, right, right.
For rockets.
Right. So other researchers that the Soviet forces managed to arrest were first tried for war crimes and trials in 1949. The Americans did not try the researchers so that the information experience gained in bioweapons could be used in the U.S. biological warfare program. Hmm. How fun. Much as they did with Germans, like I said, and the, you know, all that stuff. Then on the May 6th of 1947, Douglas MacArthur, as Supreme Commander of the Allied Forces, he wrote to Washington that additional data can probably be obtained by informing Japanese involved that information will be retained in intelligence channels and we're not going to try you for war. Come on out.
No, that's what they were saying. If we promise not to try you for war crimes, you got to tell us everything.
Yeah, so come on out. We're going to use it for good. And if we haven't found you yet, we'll protect you and use your information.
And they didn't flip on them.
No.
These guys went on. One of the people that led Unit 731 went on to become the mayor of Tokyo. Another went on to be their the head of their Olympic search committee, I believe, or something like that. Like, they went on, and the guy that led the whole thing, Shiro Ishii, who we'll get into, who's a real fuckstick.
He
went on to live a normal life and died in 1959 of throat cancer. So yeah, these guys were not prosecuted in any way, shape,
or
form.
Well, not only that, they used the thing. So when victim accounts came forward, the West just denied them as communist propaganda. It's like, commies just trying to put down the Japanese.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, wow, man. I think I need a break and probably a smoke or a puke. One or the other.
A shower.
Yeah. So when we come back, we're going to dive deeper down this gross part of history, tell you what actually happened, unfortunately. That's coming up on Hysteria 51.
No, I was just saying you need a shower.
Oh.
It's unbearable.
I wouldn't want that. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it, so it's very high on pronunciation, too, so you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation, yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know? If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition, and it hears you. You get to use, like, the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know, and we don't do long term stuff like this, and this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now. Get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off, rosettastone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
So all fun stories have to have a beginning. And this one is
so
in 1932, right? So Surgeon General Shiro Ishii, who we talked about is the man with this whole plan, was placed in a command of the Army Epidemic Prevention Research Laboratory. Sounds like something that would be good. you know, we don't want epidemics. We're gonna work for it. The AEPRL and Ishii organized a secret research group for various chemical and biological experimentation because that's, of course, what you do.
That is normal for a surgeon general.
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's part of the protocol here for choosing one.
Well, he's also a general.
Right, right.
So he got after this pretty early. He proposed the creation of a Japanese biological and chemical research unit in 1930 after a two-year study that he did abroad.
Yeah.
On the grounds that Western powers were developing their own programs.
Now,
so he,
that is
keeping up with the Joneses.
Unfortunately, that's probably very, very true. Or not a probably, because we know it was actually happening.
Right.
One of Ishii's main supporters inside the army was Colonel Kazumi, who later became Japanese health minister from 41 to 45. And Kazumi had joined a secret poison gas research committee back in 1915 during World War I, when he and other Japanese army officers became impressed by the successful German use of chlorine gas during battles, where the Allies suffered 5,000 deaths and 15,000 wounded as a result of this chemical. He looked at it and goes, wow, we could really do better, I think. Let's work on that.
He was impressed.
Yep. Yep. So, of course, Emperor Hirohito authorized by decree the expansion of this unit and its integration into the Kwangtung Army as the Epidemic Prevention Department. Now, that was just the icing on the cake. And he goes, all right, here we go.
Yeah. I mean, in addition to the establishment of Unit 731 that we're talking about today, the decree also called for the establishment of additional biological warfare development unit called the Kwangtung Army Military Horse Epidemic Prevention Workshop.
Horse epidemics were the scourge of the early 20th century.
It was later. They shortened it up finally and just they were running out of room on the business card.
Mm-hmm. So they hoof and mouth disease was prevalent.
That's
yes,
true.
Yes. They later just referred to it as Manchuria Unit 100.
Now, when people were trying to apply to work there, do you think they called them Manchuria candidates?
For sure.
Obviously.
It's a guarantee.
There was also
Denzel Washington was integral.
I wouldn't even. Yeah, that goes without saying.
There was also a chemical warfare development unit called the Kwangtung Army Technical Testing Department, later referred to as Manchuria Unit 516.
All this just rolls right off the tongue.
It certainly does. And after the Japanese invasion of China in 37, sister chemical and biological warfare units were founded in major Chinese cities. And those were referred to as epidemic prevention and water supply units.
Now, just keep in mind, all this is highly illegal and definite war crimes. And they're just springing up everywhere like Starbucks.
And the reason we point all this out, we're talking about Unit 731 today, but this was an entire series.
So, yeah, Unit 731 wasn't alone or even that special, unfortunately.
The compilation of all these units comprised Ishii's network, we'll call it. And at its height in 1939 was composed of more than 10,000 people.
That's crazy.
Like personnel, like manning the thing. I don't mean people they were experimenting
on. And they said, we're going to get you people that are going to help. So they got medical doctors, professors, everything from all over Japan. And they came because they said, we're going to give you the rare opportunity to conduct human experimentation. And you're going to have strong financial support from the army. And these doctors and these professors said, sign me up. Great. Does it just kind of curl your toes, attracted to the ability to experiment on humans?
Obviously, they don't watch much TV. Everyone knows, don't trust the bee in Unit 731.
That's not that show.
Oh. So,
was he trying to make a joke there?
I don't know. Joe.
Is he evolving?
Joe, would you have been attracted to the idea of a human experimentation and unlimited funding?
Count me out. I remember in college, a couple of my roommates were pre-med. And
where is this going?
Part of that was, you know, at some point in time, at some point in time, you have to do certain things on like cadavers and things like that. And they were literally practicing on each other, cutting open and then suturing their calves like with each other.
No way.
I walked in our apartment and there they were with scalpels and needles and thread. And we're doing it on each other, and I ran away. I can't be involved in any human experimentation.
That seems suspect at best. Like, did you ever open that oddly large freezer they had in your room?
No, I avoided it. I wasn't allowed. It said, Joe, please do not open.
Did you ever wake up in a bathtub full of ice?
Regularly.
They would take and replace his kidneys often.
My assumption is my stomach is still there, but perhaps my esophagus is connected directly to my intestines.
Who hasn't had that kind of party?
It is one of the things that 731 was known for, 737.
You did the
also
wrong
grounded,
research.
Also grounded.
So, you know, one of the things that I think is worth talking about before we get into the horrible things that they did, it's just worth exploring. I'm not saying one is worse than the other. I think it's all horrible, but is motivation, right? So this is very different than like what Goebbels was doing in Nazi Germany. In Nazi Germany, they were doing, of course, they were doing experimentation. And part of it was to help save German lives, like when they would take
freezing of officers.
Jews and POWs and such and freeze them to see if they could revive them. Yes, they did some of that. But much more so, they were trying to exterminate entire races because they believed that their race was superior. And then the other half of their experimentation was to create super Nazi soldiers.
Good old eugenics. Yeah.
No. That's not what I'm talking about. Super Nazi soldiers.
Yeah. Where they're literally making the
trying to make super soldiers. Mm-hmm. Right. And they're using black magic and stuff like that. So Hitler was all over the place, but it was
bring me the crows. The ones that are in the circle.
Yes, exactly.
I'm making a super soldier.
The
Japanese weren't all over the place. This was very. This is the wrong word, but pragmatic.
We're here to kill.
We're here to test. It happens to result in the death of those people.
But... No, I like to think we're here to kill because that's what they did.
Yeah, but we want to figure out the most efficient way to exterminate as much human life as possible that is our enemies.
Word.
Not based in we are a superior race necessarily.
It's not based in I'm better than you.
This is war as hell and we're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
And if that takes us knocking off a few thousand Chinese, who cares?
Creativity was sadly encouraged.
I'm also projecting a little bit. I'm sure many of them were racist, just like any country that has a big nationalist population has a certain amount of racism. But my point is that it definitely by the actions that they took, you can see different motivations between the two Axis partners. And it's worth bringing up. I'm not saying one is better than the other.
Okay, yeah, they're different sides to the same coin. I think is one way to look at it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I agree with you. Yeah, they're the different motivation to have a similar outcome, or not exactly the same outcome.
It's just different motivation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean the ends don't justify the means.
We've danced around it a lot. Let's go to one more break, and then when we come back, let's talk about the nightmarish stuff that they did. That's coming up next on Hysteria 51.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Nightmares.
Fair warning for anyone listening, if you don't want to hear more of the horrific things that happened at this unit, this is where we're going to start.
Yeah.
So you might want to fast forward because it's kind of gross. But we are going to try to go top line and get through it pretty quickly. We're not trying to give you an hour of horror porn.
No. So without further ado, we'll start with one of the main things they did, which was vivisection. Surgery on men and women and children. And here's the kicker. Without anesthesia.
Well, it's another way to say it is dissection while you're still alive.
Right. Now, the reason they said that they wanted to A, take them while they were alive and B, take them without anesthesia is they didn't want their effects to be hindered by A, this was done on a person who was dead, or B, the chemicals they used for anesthesia could actually change the outcome. Wow.
Yeah. So just imagine all the horrible things that they were testing and doing.
Yep.
And they just did it they just did it to him while they were alive.
And usually it ended with death or the people wishing for death.
And the way,
some of them
the way
really
it ended
live.
In death is they either bled out or like they took removed a major organ that you kind of need to survive.
Yeah, right. And the other thing they did is they would give them horrible illnesses and then cut them open just to see like what it had done to the body, things like that, so they could figure out how to go on. Like you said, remove organs to study the effects of disease or gas had on them. Like, what did that gas do to this guy's heart? Well, let's go see. That is just terrible. The other germ warfare attacks is another thing they did. Prisoners were told they were getting vaccines, but were actually giving horrible, horrible diseases, germs, things like that.
Right. What they were studying was how they could use germs en masse to destroy their enemies.
Now, the next part is absolutely deplorable. Guards and other prisoners were forced to rape women to give them venereal diseases, or women that had it, the men were held down and the women were forced to rape them to give them venereal diseases.
The reason they did that, they just found it was more effective. They had tried injecting things like syphilis into prisoners. And they're like, it's just not as effective. We need to go with the good old fashioned
version.
Bring
in the rape unit. That was literally a unit where they were just, that was what they did.
But there wasn't enough death there. So it's like, let's find some worse diseases. So they started experimenting with cholera. And they also wanted to bring back the good old bubonic plague. And the way they were doing this, they found that a really good transmission source were fleas.
Yeah. So they got plague fleas, as you do at your local store, and they put them on clothing, supplies, things like that.
Those fleas, that they developed those fleas, they would breed those fleas, and they were thought to, when it was all said and done, result in the death of at least 400,000 Chinese civilians.
And not only would they put them on the clothing and stuff, they would actually put them in bombs. Now, bombs is a flea bomb. And would drop it on targets outside just villages and things like that.
Right. There was no explosion. It was like a piece of ceramic with a bunch of fleas in it that they would just drop and it would open. And
right.
Yeah.
Oh, also, an expedition to Nanking involved spreading typhoid and paratyphoid germs into wells, marshes, and, you know, just everywhere there's water around cities, as well as infusing them into snacks and then distributing them among to the locals, including the children, just to see what happened when epidemics broke out of typhoid and paratyphoid. And they said that epidemics did immediately break out, to the elation of many of the researchers, who concluded that paratyphoid was, quote, the most effective of the pathogens.
One of the accounts I read, when they first decided they wanted to go wide with some disease, they decided to put typhoid in a river.
Mm-hmm.
And it was completely unsuccessful. Apparently, when you throw typhoid into a river, it dies. Or I don't know. I'm not a scientist.
I think you have to do it the way that they did it at the beginning of what do you call it? The Aliens prequel movie. Like, you have to drink a cup of thing and then melt into the water.
Or put it on the tip of your finger, then put it into someone's water
like
and
David.
Have them drink it immediately. Yeah.
What's that movie?
Wait, what movie are you talking about?
Prometheus?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you have to drink the thing and melt into the water.
And everyone knows typhoid is just black glue, you know.
Well, that's true, and it's all originated with Michael Fassbender.
Everything in this world does.
But they use these diseases to try to snuff out their enemies. But I think the part that about the germ warfare attacks, not just the people that they unleashed them on, but at Unit 731, they would expose people to the plague and then do the live vivisections and all of that just to see how it worked.
Then you move on, and the next one was frostbite testing. They took captives outside, dipped various appendages into water, allowed that appendage to freeze. Once it was frozen, there's actually testimony from Japanese officers who said it was determined after the frozen arms were struck with a short stick, if they emitted a sound resembling that which of a board gives when it's struck, that was actually, you know, frozen.
That's what they were
enough.
Going for.
Ice was chipped away and the area doused in water, and the effects of different temperatures of water were tested by bludgeoning the victim to determine if the areas were still frozen, like how much water was needed to unfreeze something that was absolutely frozen.
I can't imagine the pain involved in that.
No.
And they were doing this to all these poor people. And there were people that would be walking around without hands because it would have shattered off after they did these tests to them.
The next, kind of along with what we were already talking about, but rape testing, not only did they do it with the diseases, just the effects of raping people. Nothing else really needed to talk about there.
Forced pregnancy, same thing. Weapons testing. This is pretty brutal. Human targets were used to test grenades, bombs, other ordnance.
Let's see what happens when you lay on it. Let's see at 10 feet, 20 feet, 30 feet, 40 feet. Just the difference of like what it does to the human body.
And so imagine a target like you'd shoot in target practice, but like drawn out on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd be like, okay, this group right here, you go to just 5 meters away. Yep. This group right here, you're 10 meters away.
Yep.
Now, if they were testing pathogen-inducing bombs, they gave them metal plates to wear over their chest and some sort of helmet or something because they didn't. I mean, these were logs to them.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't just burn up all your logs for no reason.
Yeah, you want them to live through this so you can see what happens.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They were trying to see the efficacy of spreading the germ, not the efficacy of the ordnance.
Right. Now, another ordnance or whatever you want to call it that they did test was flamethrowers, and from different tests of distances and things like that.
Yeah,
what it will happen.
Here.
Yeah.
Let's just run through a speed round of some of the other stuff they did.
We'll call it other.
Right.
Food deprivation, water dehydration, pressure chamber effects.
And just use your imagination there.
Temperature
That's exactly
extremes,
what they were doing.
Burns, electrocution, spun to death in centrifuges, animal blood infusions and injections, lethal doses of x-rays, gas chamber chemical weapon effects, buried alive, burned alive, seawater injections, removing limbs and sewing them back on, and horse urine injections just to see what happened, etc.
Yeah, yeah. Though, you have to admit, horse urine injections kind of sounds like some new age frou-frou thing they'd do at the local spa.
Not at all. Joe played bass for horse urine injection when he was in college.
We had some hot tracks.
Yeah, yeah.
So, all right. That's some of the depravity that they engaged in.
Joe, what's your favorite? No, don't answer that. Please
didn't,
don't.
Didn't
answer.
Plan to.
Yeah, he didn't attack the microphone there.
Probably etc. if I had to choose.
But we'll stop talking about the depravity there. Just know that if it was bad, they did it. And they did it in the name of science.
Science.
In the name of the empire, right? The Japanese empire.
Everyone knows the empire does the worst stuff.
Nipponese empire. That's Nippon is how they say Japan, I believe, right? In Japanese?
I'm not brushed up on my Japanese.
Where's your universal translator?
It's on the fritz. So let's wrap this up a little bit with some discussion here.
Here's the thing. We could go on for hours about all of the horrible atrocities that they unleashed on their thousands of victims. And it's important to talk through those things, and that's why we did it for a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're aware of it. You know, the whole doomed to repeat it if you don't, you know, history repeats itself, all that. But it's also worth putting into historical context. I think we need to talk about the world writ large. We talked earlier about does intent matter?
Now, yeah.
That's not just Nazis versus the Japanese, you know, pragmatism versus hatred. Does intent matter as it relates to other things that you do in war?
You look at it that way, and intent is an interesting thing, and there's a couple ways that you look at it. They looked at it as though the needs of the few outweighed by the needs of the many, and the few we're going to make sure aren't our own people. There are always cases where that should be a thing. Like, I should go swim down here and unlatch this and kill myself so that, you know, that the everyone else
self-sacrifice,
can get out.
Right.
This isn't self-sacrifice, though. This was picking and choosing who to sacrifice, and I think that sets it up differently. The other side of that coin, which is the context of, do you just throw these things away because they did it horribly, or do we look at it also that, you know, the U.S. took and learned from them because, well, crap, it happened. Let's try to use it for good if we can. That's also a slippery slope.
That's the rosy. That's looking through rosy glasses that let's just try to use this horrible stuff for good. The non-rosy is, okay, they got all, we were envious of all of the answers they had, and we just wanted them. And
yeah, and as we've talked with people before, after the wars, they say that this experimentation didn't stop; it just moved to the U.S.
Yeah, that's where we get into conjecture. Everything mm-hmm. we've talked about so far is not conjecture; it happened.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
only conjecture is how many thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of mm-hmm. Of Chinese villagers died, because also disease epidemics weren't uncommon in developing areas either. So some of those could be blamed on Unit 731, but they were just going to get a cholera. And speaking of our involvement, we did, you know, give clemency to everyone who worked at Unit 731.
Yeah, you know, the proverbial hands aren't clean kind of thing, because we gave them clemency right after we bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
And I mean, we did the same thing for the scientists involved in Project Paperclip, which we're going to do an upcoming episode on.
Mm-hmm.
We were good at forgiving sins if we learned information.
Forgive
from
me,
it.
America, for I have sinned.
And speaking of
it's been a world war since I've talked to you.
Yeah, kind exactly. of thing. Speaking of our involvement, and this is a tough conversation, our hands aren't clean, right? People don't talk often about the bombing of Tokyo. We had just invented napalm. We bombed the crap out of Tokyo, mm-hmm. killed over 100,000 people, right? Now, we were at war, and we needed Japan to throw up the white flag and say, mm-hmm. we're done, we quit. Then we bombed Hiroshima. Then we bombed Nagasaki. More people actually died, they say, during the bombing of Tokyo than either of the nukes. So when we talk about the horrors of war, Unit 731 is horrible, deplorable, awful in every way, shape, and form. But did we necessarily need to napalm 100,000 people? I don't. I'm not here to answer that question, but I am here to say that our hands aren't necessarily clean.
Yeah, and it's an interesting conversation to have. And you know what? Where can they have that conversation at, actually?
I don't know. Not Hysteria Nation. It's a lot more.
Not on Hysteria Nation. That is a road that we don't want to go down. So, you know what? Your personal blog.
Yeah,
your
personal blogs is the place for it.
Do you have any other thoughts on this stuff?
No.
I'd rather not. Yeah.
I'm trying not to. More so than usual. I mean, I hate thinking about you two. But this is like a whole different level of me not wanting to pay attention during a recording.
I don't. Well, at least you're consistent.
That's true.
You have not. The tiger did not change his stripes.
Rack this up to another episode I won't have listened to.
Nation, this is just us telling you, don't forget. Don't forget these things that have happened, and don't pretend that everyone does have their hands clean. And hopefully we've learned, we've moved on as a society, though you can make a lot of arguments for the fact that we didn't.
Or haven't.
But if they do want to talk about some things, where can they do that?
If they want to talk to us in general, I'd get on Facebook and go to our Facebook discussion group. That's called Hysteria Nation. Just go to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation.
That's right. You can also go to Facebook.com/Hysteria51Pod. That is our Facebook page. Tweet to us at Hysteria51Pod. Reddit, we have a Hysteria51 subreddit. Please jump on there. Let us know what's going on. Instagram. John is on Grindr. You can find him on there.
That's not
He's
true.
Also on Friendster. And how's your MySpace doing?
Well, my MySpace is strong. My game is strong. You're back out of the top eight, though. Sorry. Sorry.
Oh, man. We got Patreon.
And whenever you go to my MySpace, Walking on the Sun plays.
Ooh. Might as well be
That's
Walking on the Sun.
Yeah. Yeah.
John, tell him about your favorite Patreon level.
That's where they give us $200 a month. That'd probably be my favorite. $1,000 a month.
I should make one.
How high does it go?
If you $1,000 a month, we'll give you the show.
And you can literally just host for
an unspecified amount of time. No, it's about 4 minutes into it, we cut the call, and that was the money. There it was. Should have paid the $100. You went overboard. No. Patreon.com/Hysteria51Pod. You can find posters and t-shirts and pins and magnets. And for $30, you can sniff John Goforth.
You can't. It's
you
not
can
true.
Smell the aroma that
nope.
is Goforth.
Nope.
It will happen. People have paid for it, and I'd hate to think you got sued. So, you know.
I've always said that this isn't true.
That's called breach of contract.
But I
we all
sign
know
a
I
contract.
Speak
it's an implied you. Verbal contract, the strongest of them all.
Yeah. But how can he imply me in a in
It's
a
already
verbal...
because he can't infer you.
I did not agree to the verbal contract.
It's irrelevant.
Lots of people don't
agree. C-Bot, roll the tape.
Also, don't forget, you can leave us a voicemail, 773-669-7277. What's that number again, John?
773-669-7277.
You know what we haven't asked for in a while?
A review?
Give us some reviews.
5 stars.
Even if you hate us.
Even if you hate us. But then write whatever you want, because people certainly do.
Yeah.
No, no, you chose the right episode.
It doesn't have to be just on iTunes. You can do it all over the place.
Let's play some voicemails, because we know that like 3/4 of the people have already stopped listening.
Yeah, let's do it.
Hi, you guys. I'm from Nevada.
Oh.
I was just listening to the recent one, Black Project. It is dead out here, but I'm from the capital near Reno, so I don't really get to go see all that.
Good police in Reno.
I just wanted to give you guys an idea.
Oh.
There's something called the Nevada Triangle.
Yes.
And it's over the Sierra Mountains.
We've talked about that a little bit.
And also I heard the Yosemite is filled with night crawlers and the interdimensional Bigfoot. So you guys should probably do one on that.
I count me in on both of those.
Kind of paranormal in that area. I really love listening to your guys' stuff. It really cracks me up. People give me weird looks when I'm laughing at your random ideas. And
oh, there's nothing random about
that
us.
You guys say. Thank you. Just giving you guys an idea. Have a good day.
That was a slow one, but a fun one.
So a few things there. First, I don't know what any of that is. Nightcrawlers or interdimensional Bigfoot?
Nightcrawlers are what you use when you want to go fishing, especially for catfish.
Thank you.
Yeah. An interdimensional Bigfoot is interdimensional Bigfoot.
Well, I'm in. I can't wait for those episodes. Also, weird looks and randomness should be like the sub headline to our podcast, like Hysteria 51, weird looks and randomness.
Let's do another one.
Yo, what's happening with your bitch ass? It's Mike. It's Samuel Jackson.
Mike.
No,
Samuel Jackson.
My real name is Darren Duncan, and I'm calling you guys again after I got some motherfucking beers up in me because my homeboy from fucking New Jersey, No Net Chris Koneko the Gecko, asked me to reach out to you guys.
Yeah.
He said that he fucking sold Brent Hand a pop figure or something.
Yeah.
And he owes him some money.
Uh-oh.
He's trying to collect, son.
Shit.
No, I'm just kidding. I live in the 11th dimension. I'm from motherfucking Rockford, Illinois. And I'm going to drive up there, and I want you guys to interview me and fucking Chris Koneko on the air. It's going to be lots of fun. We'll talk about nerd shit and geek right the fuck out. But we refuse to donate to your Patreon because we're assholes. But we like listening to you for free. So keep up the good work, brothers. I love you guys. Peace out, my Neil.
Chris Koneko, he's active in Hysteria Nation.
Yeah.
And yeah, pop figures for sure. We've had some dealings.
Have you?
Yes.
That sounds nefarious.
Yeah, I don't notice how I pulled my yes.
Fair enough.
It's the lizard person in me just sneaking out a little bit. Kaneki Redeeman, or whatever the word is. Want to do one more?
Yes.
Hey, what's going on, guys? This message is actually for Conspiracy Bot. Conspiracy Bot, I'm just wondering if you're single, because I'm into...
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
I'm sure you already have my number.
The pizza man came.
Let's hook up. Let's do lunch, you know? I could take you out, do a tune-up, you know? Have your oil change, you know, do a little transmission flush. I don't know, you know, if you're into that, but yeah. Give me a call. All right, thanks.
So he wants to have sex with C-Bot.
No, he said he was interested in dating. There's
oil change?
There was no carnal relations mentioned.
You don't understand.
Actually, I'm the one who doesn't understand. What the fuck is wrong with you people?
Also worth noting, this could be considered a misconnection, as the most important part of his proposal was lost to the interweb.
Well, he did come back and say, and I quote, "I'm sure you got my number already," and I'm sure he does, because That's the shit he does. Just, you know, collects information on people.
I Zuckerberg all your asses.
I'm just saying that we could put this in misconnections.
I think that recently, so one of the things Lisa and I used to love to do is go on there.
I don't know where this is going.
And read the funny, like, misconnections and stuff like that. You know, like, oh, I was at Club Throb. I grinded on you in the bathroom. You tongue punched my poop pipe. I was too embarrassed to ask for your phone number. Send me an email.
You know, and we used to laugh. Did you just say that?
What I'm getting
at. What worries me is you just came up with that off the top of your head.
The problem is they removed those from Craigslist. So now we can't laugh at them anymore.
John, Brent didn't exactly just come up with that one off the top of his head. That's how Lisa and him met.
It's true. And it wasn't a Club Throb, but it was similar.
I mean, I was thinking about, like, hey, saw you in Trader Joe's. You were 6 foot tall and blonde hair. Those misconnections. But you went straight to the heart of the matter.
No, I went straight to the poop pipe. No, I went straight to exactly what was on Craigslist all the time. You guys are making fun of me. I tamed it down. Literally.
No, yeah, there's not much normal in misconnections.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Oh, well, I'm glad we could end on a laugh.
Yeah, because human experimentation wasn't the chuckle fest that we were hoping it was going to be.
Right.
Frankly,
right.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, Joe. Yeah, I mean, Joe gets a giggle out of it every time he experiments.
Not one gamma ray radiation experiment that created a Hulk. I mean, not one.
That they tell you about.
Oh, it's a good point.
Yep. With that said, I've been Brent.
I've been Joe.
I've been John.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite. Join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.